President Biden is in Philadelphia today to promote his agenda and mark Amtrak's 50th anniversary.
Earlier on NBC's Today Show, the president was asked to defend that agenda and why he's proposing $6 trillion in spending and tax increases to pay for it when the economy is still recovering from the pandemic.
That's the reason why it's recovering, because we're invested. Look how rapidly it's recovered since we passed the last piece of legislation. And that legislation was $1.9 trillion. If we don't invest in this country, we're going to actually fall behind even further.
Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Today we've got Eugene Daniels. He's White House correspondent for Politico and co-author of the Politico Playbook. And Olivia Nuzzi. She is Washington correspondent for New York Magazine. Great to have you both back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, sure. So this week, we really did hear President Biden arguing that there are certain things only the government can do, such as invest $4 trillion on his infrastructure plans, plural. In his speech on Wednesday to Congress, he said the country's future hinges on it.
America's moving forward, but we can't stop now. We're in competition with China and other countries to win the 21st century. We're at a great inflection point in history.
Eugene, what is the president up against when he makes the argument, really as few modern Democrats in the White House ever have, that big government is good? It's the solution to our problems.
Well, first of all, he's against a Senate that barely has a majority and a House that also barely has a majority. So those are the first two things that he's up against. But he's also kind of up against this expanding what government can and should do, which is what they're trying to do. But he has to convince people that logistically the government can do that, right? He's talking about $6 trillion and these types of investment that are actually popular. If you look at the polling suggesting that people like the proposals that they have in these plans, not always the money, but that people should be doing things about care, about climate change, about roads and bridges, about broadband. But that is not easy to sell to people. He's doing kind of the most Biden trip ever, going to Pennsylvania for the Amtrak anniversary to sell this because he has to convince people that we can do good things in your life. And honestly, after a year in this pandemic, three different checks that people were sent by the government, we've already kind of expanded how much influence the government has in people's pockets in everyday life in a way. And so I think they're banking on people, Republicans, independents, also agreeing that maybe the government should be doing a little more, but it's a steep hill to climb.
Olivia, has the scope of the agenda that President Biden has laid out so far in his first 100 days surprised many people in Washington, even his fellow Democrats? I mean, this almost sounds like a president who is different than the man who ran for president.
Well, you know, everything can be infrastructure is sort of the joke now that everything is included in this bill. The administration is sort of arguing a very progressive point, I think much more progressive than people who heard Biden campaign thought that he would bring in the White House. He sounds more, frankly, like Elizabeth Warren than the Joe Biden of the Democratic primary, for instance. But, you know, to Eugene's point, not only is it an uphill battle in terms of what they're facing logistically with the makeup of the Senate, the makeup of the House, but there's this sort of interesting point where a lot of people who I think were skeptical of big government or skeptical of people getting checks prior to the pandemic, a lot of Americans now understand the value of something like that because they got money from the government that helped them get through this pandemic. And even though these things are immensely popular, when you look at the polling about how people feel about infrastructure, how they feel about other parts of this this agenda, Biden is also still facing these trends of negative partisanship that have been worsening for the last few decades in American political life. So even if individual lawmakers understand that their constituents are very much in support of getting money to improve roads or to have broadband access, Washington is still sort of just held hostage by this negative partisanship that has really defined our politics since the Gingrich Revolution, and it's just gotten worse and worse over time.
Yeah, well, Olivia, you know, the people who might agree with your assessment that President Biden sounds a bit like Senator Warren could include the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. In fact, he called the president's speech on Tuesday a lengthy liberal daydream. And he said the American Families Plan the president put out this week will do things like micromanage child care choices and other terrible things. And he said he is clearly not on board if Democrats try to push these spending plans through on party line votes in this evenly divided Senate. Take a listen.
Our president will not secure a lasting legacy through go-it-alone radicalism. He won't get much done that way. It won't be good for the country. And whatever the Democrats do get done through partisan brute force will be fragile.
So, Olivia, kind of 2 points there. Number one, what can he actually do on a party line vote, mindful that everything can't pass through this special budget reconciliation process? And two, the fragility point, the argument from McConnell seems to be that Republicans will just undo whatever the president does the next time they're in power.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the difficulty. There's a lot that the president can get done with executive orders, for instance. His first week in office was kind of spent undoing through executive order a lot of things that the previous president did through executive order. And it sort of makes the case that no matter how much you can get done as president with your powers, if things are not enshrined in law, it really does start to look temporary. I think we're seeing this, on another point with climate, where the United States doesn't really have credibility despite what we understand President Biden's view of this stuff to be, because other countries are looking at us and saying, well, your system is such that no matter what any individual president gets done, unless there is actual legislation that is passed, it might just completely be undone the next administration that comes in. And I think, listening to McConnell there, it's almost like he embodies this negative partisanship that I was talking about, where he almost has a string that you pull and he says some typically Mitch McConnell line that he could say at any other point probably in this administration, where he is not going to get on board with anything that the Biden administration suggests. And he's going to use some alliterative phrase to paint Biden as this radical. But like Eugene said, these ideas that Biden is putting forth, that the administration is putting forth, are very popular. And I think at some point you kind of run into the difficulty with individual lawmakers where their constituents would like their lives to improve, would like the government at the federal level to do stuff to help them. And most people in their everyday life are not thinking in intensely partisan terms the way that lawmakers in Washington are.
Well, then, Eugene, I mean, how long will the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wait before just forging ahead without Republicans?
I think they, first of all, to the first point of it being a laundry list, every one of those speeches is like this hour and a half long laundry list of conservative lips. So, like, that is just something that has been true since the beginning of time. But on that point, I think the Democrats right now are being pushed by Biden to try and do this in a bipartisan way. That is actually how, based on my reporting and sources I've been speaking to, how he actually wants to do probably most of these bills. But what they continue to say, and they've kind of redefined bipartisanship to mean it's not just about Congress, right? So Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, everyone understands that if they reach a point, probably I would say, a month or so of back and forth between Republicans and Democrats on what is infrastructure or how much it should be, whether or not, there's two or three or four bills, how they're going to do this is really interesting. One of the aspects of this is that the infrastructure, the actual, roads, bridges, the old school way of thinking about it, it could be one bill, right? There's Coons, the Senator Coons from Delaware, talks about this a lot, having just one bill that they could go through and have it be bipartisan, actual bipartisanship. And the $600, I think it was, billion dollars that Republicans came back with kind of matches up with the $600-ish billion dollars in the Biden plan for roads, bridges. And so there seems like if they can get to one bill and then move the other stuff, the CARE force stuff, into a different bill, that might be a way that they're interested in doing it. But they're not going to wait much longer because they keep saying that. They keep promising people that Americans can't wait to be saved. So they have, not much time left.
And, just to follow up on Eugene's point there.
Go ahead. Sure.
Biden has always talked about wanting to work in a bipartisan way, almost at times sounding at odds with the reality of politics in Washington as he has experienced it for, you know, nearly half a century, especially during the Obama administration, where Republicans displayed just absolutely no desire to work across the aisle. And at a certain point, progressives, I mean, we already hear it now this early, progressives start to lose patience, and progressives do not want Biden to work so hard to work in a bipartisan fashion. And so I think the administration is in a position where the executive wants to work across the aisle, wants to talk to Republicans, wants to try to do things in a meaningful bipartisan way. The reality may be that he just politically can't do that. He needs to work without them.
Olivia Nuzzi is Washington correspondent for New York Magazine and Eugene Daniels, White House correspondent for Politico. Thanks again to you both.
Thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
You too.